And good morning to you, and welcome to the Bible Baptist Hour. Pastor Heaton talking with you here. We're doing a study in Ecclesiastes. We're in Ecclesiastes, the 10th lesson. We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We hope you'll join us today. And I do have a cold. Yes, I do. I do sound a little rough. And from time to time during the study, we'll probably have to stop and take a drink. So please bear with me in patience. I didn't want the cold, but it wanted me, I guess. Bible Baptist Church is located on the east side of the road. No matter which way you come into town, you can find us. Big parking lot across the street on the west side of the road. Big white sign in tells you all about our church. Sunday school, 9:45. Morning service, 11 o'clock. Evening service, 6 o'clock. Midweek service, 7 o'clock on Thursday. Teen time, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And then our youth time for the younger groups, I think 5 to 12, is Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We hope you can come and be with us. If you're new in the area looking for a church, at least give us a try. We may not be what you're looking for, but then again, we might be. And if you've been listening for years and you've been intending on coming, but you haven't, well, now would be a good time to come, all right? Well, hard to believe, isn't it? We're in the new year. Wow, time went by faster than we can keep track of it. And we're already headed in toward the second week. It won't be long. We always say it every year. Well, it's a long ways to the end of the year. And then at the end of the year, we say, wow, where did it go? So, Ecclesiastes is our study for today. We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. If you want to turn there, this is lesson number 10. We hope it will be helpful to you in some way. And again, I apologize for my cold. I surely didn't want it, but it attached itself to me. So I hope that won't be too distracting to you, all right? So, anyways, without any further ado for me, let's get right to our lesson. And don't forget, at the end of our program, our announcer will come and he'll give you an address where you can write to us. And we'd love to hear from you. All right, let's go to our lesson. Okay, as we said in the opening, we are in lesson number 10. And we're at chapter 7 in Ecclesiastes, if you'd like to join us there. And if I sound a little hoarse this morning, it is because I had a cold earlier this week. And while most of it has gone away, I still hang on to the throat thing. So if you hear me take a drink of water or something, you know it's because I have a dry throat. So just be patient with me this morning, and we'll try to get through this lesson. We arrived here at chapter 7, and Solomon tells us there are seven better things. Now, he had mentioned earlier in chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4 and some other places of some things, I think 10 of them, and so on, and he tells us what is better, which is often opposite of what we believe is better. For instance, in chapter 4, verse 6, he says, better is a handful with quietness than both hands full with travail and vexation of the spirit. But yet most of us believe that the more you have, the better you have it, even though we know from experience that is not true. Now, here in the first six verses, he says there's eight things that are better. We're going to look at them. And you'll probably find some of it hard to believe, but it is true. A good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning, M-O-U-R-N, mourn, okay, than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Now, verse 1 is clear about your name, which will include your reputation. If you have a bad name, no doubt your reputation goes with it. Solomon put it this way in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than the silver and gold. Consider what he says in chapter 10, verse 7 of the same book, Proverbs that be, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. You know, there was a time in America when a man's word was his bond. If he said it, then you figured it'd be so. Even among the saints in this age, in this day, a man's word is often no good. When his name is mentioned, you might hear, oh, you can't trust him. Or you might hear, I wouldn't loan him anything. As we commented in chapter 6, verse 3, things are believed by Eastern people and are not understood by Western people. One of them is death. We view death as a tragedy, they as important in the trail of life. Consider this. When you're born, no one knows you. You've made no impact in life and have never had any face any adversity and so on. So, why is the day of death important? Surely you have stood at the casket. Excuse me. Or by the grave and heard things said about someone, then you kind of wonder if that same person you knew, what will be said about you at your death. So a good name is better than gold, silver, or precious ointment, and all the money in the world will never clear your name. Some of the poorest people in the world have gone to their grave with a good name. Did you ever stop to think that nowhere in the Bible are you told to celebrate a birthday? The celebration of birthdays are something done by the heathen, and in the Bible they are connected to licentiousness, debauchery, and the death of a preacher, Matthew 14:1-12. However, in 1 Corinthians 11:23-26, we're told that eating of bread and drinking of the cup, we are to be done as a remembrance of the Lord's death till he come. We view death as morbid, while it brings sadness and sorrow. For the saint is as a release from the death trap we live in this world, where life, well, some folk thinks it never ends, but it will. Verse 2, he seems rather redundant to us, actually. No one reading those lines believes that going to a funeral is better than going to a wedding. But stop to consider what Solomon says about the end result. No one at the wedding is made to think of eternal things, but a funeral makes men lay it to heart. That is, they have to think about it. In verse 3, we get the kind of a stoic attitude presented to us. Tough it out. Bear with the situation. Laughter does not make a man think, but sorrow does. America sets before the television and laughs until their sides hurt and doesn't think about the future, the souls of men, their family situations, and so on and on. We get together in fellowship, spend our time laughing and making jokes, never discussing how we might be a better Christian. We don't spend much time in serious thought, though that is brought about by sorrow. Not the way we think, is it? Western culture is not the same as Eastern culture. Believe me. Been there, lived with some people, and I can tell you it isn't. For years, I've tried to witness to a well-known businessman. I had not had much success until one day his brother was killed in a motorcycle accident. When I went to see him, all of a sudden, he had an interest in the afterlife. See, sorrow makes you think. Verse 4 is simply telling you that the wise men don't spend all their time in fun and laughter, where a fool is never serious. Mirth speaks of social merriment, hilarity, excitement, pleasures, feelings, noisy gaiety. It is more than just a family time, that is, or should be, around the table with the family. It's more than like the world defends of a good time, or defines a good time, I'm sorry, which includes booze, dancing, immorality, music that honors the flesh, and so forth. He comments that the wise man's heart is in the house of mourning, which indicates weeping and great sadness. That is, he doesn't spend all of his life thinking life is just, well, you know, a big party. James says it this way in James chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. James says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Consider your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. In chapter 7, here we're reading in, we're going to go to verse 5 now. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise man than to hear a song of fools. For the crackling of the thorns under a pot so is laughter for the fool. This is also vanity. Surely oppression maketh wise men mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Excuse me. Now we connect verse 5 and verse 4. One will soon learn that the reason why a fool's heart is where it is. See, the music of this world is nothing more than the music of fools. You know, Willie Nelson, Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, Janis Joplin, Johnny Cash, Styx, Tammy Wynette, AC/DC, Porter Wagner, George Jones, Jimi Hendrix, Elton John, Glenn Miller, Bing Crosby, Jerry Lee Lewis, Stevie Wonder, Doris Day, Patsy Cline, and all the rest of them produced the song Fools for three quarters of a century. You stop and analyze their music, and their music's sad music. It's debaucherous music. It's the triangle of love. So I spent heaven with you last night. All that kind of, that's all that stuff is, a song of fools. And I know, don't come talking to me. Don't tell me. I was a DJ for a long time, many years ago. I know all about it. Been there, done that. This is the music that the Lonely Hearts Club and the immoral people live by. This is the music even some say folks think is great stuff. Most of those listed above and many more not listed do nothing but drink, shoot dope, and remarry for most of their lives. Now, I didn't say they were all bad. I didn't say they were all wicked or immoral. I realize in there there's some that probably weren't, but the majority, that's not true. These are the fools who try to tell you by song that fornication is like going to heaven or sneaking out of one out on the one you living with is okay. It's really, I love the other person, see. The rebuke of the wise is often something that 95% of the population of America and the world probably wants to hear. They want to be lied to and they want to be pampered. Now consider this thought from Proverbs 9:8. Reprove not a scorner lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. I guess what most people think when they are rebuked is that the person doing the rebuking is not wise. Perhaps they even think that one thing it doing is it doesn't have any business doing it. In other words, they don't think you should have any business telling them that they're messed up. Perhaps they even think that the one doing it doesn't have any business saying it because, well, they think you're just as bad as they are. Yet God says this is better than listening to your favorite radio station. Worldly one. Verse 6 is quite simple to understand if one has ever burnt anything of this nature. When thorns are burnt, they pop and snap and give off a hollow sound as they burn under the kittle. They are soon burned up and their effect is soon gone, and they actually don't give off enough heat to get the job done. They just make noise. Solomon said this is as empty as the laughter of fools. Now consider for a few moments here with me on the implications of verse 7. Excuse me while I get a drink here. If a wise man dwells on the oppression that goes on, he will get maddened about it. Haven't you been so upset that you've blown your top, so to speak, at some news where injustice was carried out? Haven't you been almost crazy with anger when you read that some pervert killer was let go because of his rights were violated? Paul wrote, "Be not angry and sin not." Excuse me, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Ephesians 4:26. There may be a time for anger, but be sure you don't want to carry it to bed with you. Now, as to the latter part of the verse where or Solomon wrote in Proverbs 17:23, "A wicked man taketh the gift of the out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment." If one's not careful, a gift will destroy truth and justice. Now, God knows that many politicians and preachers and judges and so on have been persuaded with a gift. In verse 8, we learn a simple truth that can be applied to anyone reading these lines. It is not how you begin, but how you finish. That's what I tell young people. It's not how you begin, young people. It's how you finish this thing. Paul said he'd finished his course. He'd done what he had to do. Many a saint begins with a great zeal, but because of something or someone, they quit, and they will not finish as they begun. The latter part of the verse is not hard to understand, as we have read similar verses in the Bible. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 14:29, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he is hasty of spirit, exalteth folly." Pride versus patience is a standard thing every day of our life. We don't think we should have to wait in line or for anything after that. Do you know who I am? I was once in a store and waiting, and it was a Christmas time, and I was waiting in line, my wife and I were. And there was a lady in the back of the line waiting, I thought patiently. And the lady at the counter was trying to help this person who was buying something, and the price wasn't right. And pretty soon this lady in the back of the line says, "Hey, do you know how much money I've spent in this store? And you're making me wait here in the back of the line." And I don't remember all the other stuff that took place because I kind of closed my ears to it. But she thought because she had spent X amount of money there, that gave her a privilege. Well, I'm sorry. Do you know who I am? Of course, we remember that Solomon wrote about pride in Proverbs 16:18. That is, it precedes destruction. You get too prideful, you're going to destroy yourself. Now, we discussed someone in verse 7 and the thoughts of verse 9. In Mark 13:5, we find that Jesus feels anger at the hardness of the hearts of the people. In Matthew 5:22, we're told that one who is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of judgment. In Titus chapter 1, verse 7, a bishop or a preacher is warned about being soon angry. So here's the bottom line. It's all right to be angry, but it's wrong to carry that anger with you. Be angry and sin not. Don't let it get you down to the point where you do something or say something or think something that you shouldn't. The bottom line is how quickly you get angry. Anger rests in the bosom of fools, Solomon said. You know, in the book of Proverbs, in the book of Ecclesiastes, you can get labeled real quick. You ever notice that? It won't take long till you get a label put on you, not because you wanted it, but because it's there. You are to control the anger. Don't just get angry. Think. But notice that this anger is in the spirit first. What happens if we lose control and it comes out on the surface? Then it's too late to stop it. The word restless indicates that anger was there already. You just woke it up. My friend, listen to me. I'm not trying to condemn anybody or anything, nobody's religion or anybody's music or whatever. I'm trying to just teach you what the Bible says. And some of this stuff is hard to take. I have to tell my people, I don't like all of the verses of the Bible. I appreciate them. I believe them. And I'm not going to correct them. But some of them are pretty sharp, aren't they? The barbs, man. They'll sharpen right into you. What happens is that we lose control. And when we lose control, well, something nasty happens. Solomon tells us that wisdom also rests in the heart of a man with understanding. The thing is to understand that here is that it just doesn't happen. It was there. You just moved it up. You woke it up. Either wisdom or anger is present, resting inside of you. I believe it's Mark 7. I think you can go there. And I can't remember the passage in Matthew. But the Lord gives 13 things that rest in the heart of a man. And those are the things he said that defile him. I hope my having to take a drink of water wasn't distracting to you this week. But when your throat gets dry, you got to do something with it. Anyways, the thing to understand is it doesn't just happen. It's been there. Either wisdom or anger is presently resting inside of you. And it will be noted by the reaction that you have to anything that happens to you. Think about it. Anything that comes your way, your reaction to it tells what was resting and where it was and what priority did it have. There are people I know of that can get mad over almost nothing, which tells me that that was a priority in their life. All right, so we've come to the conclusion of lesson 10, chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes. We didn't get all of it, but we got part of it. We'll get the rest of it next week. We hope that you'll be with us, and I hope by that time my throat will be doing some better. And I won't be such a old bear, you'll think. My goodness, that old man. Don't forget now at the end of our program here, coming up in just a few seconds, our announcer will give you an address where you can write to us, and we'd love to hear from you. We really need to hear from you. Not that we get patted on the back or think we're somebody. We just need to hear from you, let you know that, to let us know that you do enjoy it, you do help, it is helpful to you in some way. And I realize these lessons in Ecclesiastes can get a little dry. I realize that. I'm trying to keep it wet for you, okay? And I try to sound like I'm, you know, not necessarily reading, but at the same time, the lesson is written all out for me. So I try to balance it out for you, and I hope I'm doing that, okay? So without me saying anything further and letting you have the reins here go, I'm going to give it to our announcer. He's going to give you some information, and we're going to hopefully hear from you in the week to come. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to the Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.